Psalm 85, and welcome to all our visitors. I'm glad you came today. You come again next week, the pastor will be here. And some other people that are missing. Amen. Oh, no, he won't. You're going to be stuck with me again. So soon. Forgot about that. Yeah. Huh? Well, thanks. I'm blessed for being seen. I'm glad I'm on this side of the sod. Amen. Yeah, they're going for a couple of weeks, going back to North Carolina. Relax a little bit. Well-deserved rest. Amen. So be praying for them to just rest. It's hard for a pastor to rest, isn't it? Seems like he's always thinking. Just take some time and think about nothing. Psalm 85 and verse 6. There's actually going to be three messages. One is, what is revival? And the stumbling blocks to revival. And then, do you really want revival? And I hope that question just starts to pierce way down into your heart. Because as funny as it sounds, do you really want revival? That's the one you're going to have to answer. Do I really want revival? Psalm 85 verse 6 says this, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Will you not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Now, just what is biblical revival? Just what is it? It's really God putting life back into lifeless people. Now, you may not consider yourself lifeless, but the church today has kind of lost its life. It's kind of lost its effectiveness in so many different areas. But it's God putting life back into lifeless people. Why? To rejoice in Him. To boast about Him. It's about looking to Him. Revival's about God. And God's people getting right with God. I can tell you what it's not. It's not a bunch of fake healing services. It's not about jumping around and people shaking. That's not revival. I don't find it in the Bible. It's not talking a bunch of gibberish. That's not revival. It's not falling in the aisles and swaying back and forth to some sensual music. That is not revival. You won't find it in the Bible. In fact, that's carnality. That's just the opposite of God's holiness inhabiting His people. Revival isn't primarily about an evangelist coming in and having special meetings and even prayer and even souls being saved. It's certainly not Joe Osteen and Joyce Myers coming in and preaching and rock music. That's not revival. Revival is a display of God's power and God's people. Revival is about Christians getting right with God. When we get right with God, we will have a revival in our hearts. Revival is something almost dead coming back to life. And that's the church today in so many different areas. You know, this church is so different than so many other churches. You can go into some churches that are absolutely dead. There's nothing happening there. God's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there. And they're just dying. This church isn't like that. But we still need revival. Don't get to thinking you've arrived. Paul even knew he hadn't arrived. We need to be restored to the life that we had the moment we got saved. You remember the moment that God took up residence in your heart. And then shortly after, you were kind of lulled to sleep, you know. We've kind of dozed off a little bit. And we tend to focus on the fruit of revival, souls being saved, and not the revival itself. I need revival. To revive is to return to life. To recover what might have been lost. God gives us back that sense of the filling of the Holy Spirit. To recover from a state of neglect. Revive your spirit again and your courage. Some backbone. Step back and honestly look at your walk with God. I don't need to look at it and you don't need to look at mine. Look at your own walk with God. You know what's in your life. You know what's keeping you from a closer walk with God. You take a look at your own life. Step back and say, how close am I to God? Because I took a good look and I said, I need revival. I want revival. Revival is about the people of God getting thoroughly, utterly sick of sin and repenting and being restored to life in complete submission to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you can count the times on one hand, how many times you've actually been filled by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you could do that, you might be doing well. You might be doing okay. Because some of us have no idea what it means to be completely full of the Holy Spirit, where God is in complete control of our life. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 4:26, it says, "At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord." You remember Abel was killed by his own brother. And then Seth was born, and then Enos. And then it says, "In that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord." Oh, that men would call on the name of the Lord today. That's revival. Jonah, his revival started in the belly of a whale. He said, "Oh God, I don't want to be here. I'll obey you." And boy, that's the beginning of revival. "I will obey you and do what you've called me to do." And because of his obedience, Nineveh was saved. Because of one man's obedience to God, I think that's a revival. It was a revival in Jonah. Nineveh didn't need a revival. They needed Bible. They needed life. But we need revival. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, man, there was revival. God's people were just blessing the Lord. In the New Testament, John the Baptist, he preached. People came to his baptism. And he told those Pharisees, "You vipers, you know, who's told you? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance." Those people that came to John's baptism were getting revived. They said, "We want to make way for the Messiah. I'm repenting of my sins." Oh, that we would do that and have revival. Everywhere Jesus went, there was revival for those that believed in Him. At Pentecost, there was a revival. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip preached in Samaria. There was a revival. The revival was in Philip. And you saw what happened in that town where all these people got saved and baptized. Paul on 3 missionary journeys. Back in the USA, the first revival was also called the First Great Awakening, of which there were 5 that happened in the 1730s and 1740s. That seems like a long time ago, and it was. It resulted from strong preaching from George Whitefield that deeply moved the people with conviction of personal guilt and their own personal sin against God. And wonderful salvation took place through Christ. The man of God needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit as much as anyone else. I'm sure George Whitefield was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and God used him to bring revival. It's God's work. Revival is not your work, it's God's work. God brings revival when He sees someone prepared for revival. He uses human instruments, like a George Whitefield. The 1904-1905 Welsh Revival was the largest Christian revival in Wales during the 20th century. By no means the best known revival, but it was one of the most dramatic in the terms of effect it had on the population there, and it triggered revivals in several other countries. The movement kept the churches of Wales filled for many years, seats being placed in the aisles in Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Swansea. For 20 years or so, it just continued until it finally gave out. Now they need revival again. What about Ireland? What about here? What about now? What about you? We don't even think about it. We need revival. I need revival. Right here. Ballincollig. Cork. Ireland. Who knows where it'll reach? But it starts with us. You know, in 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Real familiar verse. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if a man's saved, he is a new creature. Old things are," present tense, "passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what does that have to do? It's a new creature being born, and old things are passing away out of our lives. They shouldn't be in our life anymore. They've passed away. And all things are becoming new. I'm now walking with God. You know what that is? Revival is that new creature living like a new creature. We could say it a thousand different ways. But it's a new creature, someone who's been born again, a Christian, living like one. Living like the new creature that they are. And that means a drastic change in many of our lives. There was a huge drastic change when I got saved. I am not the man I used to be. But there should be another drastic change. If I'm going to be revived, then there should be a drastic change again in my life. Visibly see that something is changing in Dan's life. God has taken up not only residence, but He's filling my life. There's visible changes. Revival is certainly not perfection. None of us are going to be perfect. That sinless perfection doctrine is a lie. You have that corrupt, mortal flesh. We were just at a graveside yesterday and watched that. That was just a shell being put in the ground. That's dead. And you're carrying it around with us wherever we go, this flesh. And that's why we fight against revival. We're not talking about perfection. I'm going to sin. It's that old nature is in my flesh. I'm not perfect yet. Someday I'll shed this and get a new body. Then we'll be perfect. Nearly perfect, right, Dennis? Nearly perfect. But someday, totally perfect. Amen. It's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, just like when God first took up residence in your heart. Do you remember that? Do you remember the moment God changed you? I remember the moment when God came into my heart. I remember it. And I think about it a lot. And I said, I need to think about this as far as preaching on revival. I need to remember the moment that God came into my life. June 15th, 1990. And it was at 10:30 at night. It might have been 10:31, but I know it was right after a Southern Baptist preacher over there in America was preaching to his church on the television, and I was watching it. And I'd already been thoroughly witnessed to. And he preached on heaven, and I knew that I wasn't going there. And I was broken about it. And I muted the television set when he gave the invitation. I got on my knees, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. And I've never been the same. That moment is a revival like you'll never know. That's when Jesus Christ came in and took up residence in your life. And that's when the dead came alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead, Leo. Just as dead as a doornail. And now I'm alive. I'm alive. And I call it vival, because we're looking at revival. But you know, vive la France, you know, long live France, whatever. Vive, that word means life. I needed vival. Now I need revival. I need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Don't laugh, I can't blow the balloon up if I laugh. It's like when I laugh, I can't see because my eyes get all small. So just pretend like I'm not here. This is not a sobriety test. It's a balloon. And it's being used for what it was designed for, to hold air. And this is what we should be. What God designed us to be, filled with His Holy Spirit. Now every once in a while, a little air comes out. Still looks about the same though, doesn't it? Still looks like a balloon. And it is. You know, a kid could play with this for hours. But a little more air. Still looks pretty good. But you know what happens to us? Little by little, the air doesn't sound very good, but it's still a balloon. I'm still a Christian, but I'm not what I was designed to do and be. The air's come out of my life. The Holy Spirit is not having complete control of my life. This is still a balloon. A flat tire It's still a tire, but it's no good. It's not doing what it's designed to do, to hold air. I'm to be the temple of God, and He's to fill me, and I need revival, and so do you. Revival is God's holiness becoming evident in us by the realization that something strange has happened. The supernatural's taken over. God lives in me. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh but to kill and destroy, but I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. What kind of life are we living? It comes with revival, a desire to tell other people about what's happening in our life. A boldness like maybe you never used to have. And the light goes on when we're revived. And the Holy Spirit is in control. And He's leading the way, and we're just going on for God. How close are you to true personal revival? Is my life about me, or is it about God? And you know, you can look at that. I used to use this when Jacob wrestled with the angel. You know Jacob. And he wouldn't let go. But Jacob's life was all about him and nothing to do with God. But by the time Jacob had wrestled with that angel and he was leaning on his staff, it was nothing about Jacob anymore. It was all about God. Now, where we fit in, I don't know where you fit in there, but many of us are right in here. But we got to get to the point where it's not about me. It's all about God. It's not a little bit of you and a lot about God. It's none of me. It's all about God. That's where we need to get for revival. Because many times we're in the middle here. We're good at it. Well, I don't see many squirrels in Ireland. I know they're here. We've seen one, I think. One red squirrel. But the squirrels in America, they're everywhere. And they go up and down the electric lines. You know, like sitting there like a pigeon. Well, I'm not a pigeon, and I'm not a squirrel, and I'm not a cat. I can't walk a fence. But many Christians are living, some of me and some of thee. A little bit of you, Lord, and a little bit of the world. And I walk that line every day. That's not good. We're not tightrope walkers. We're not cats. We're not squirrels. We're Christians. And it should be all about God. Get on one side of the fence or the other. Because we're not fooling God, are we? He knows where our life is. He knows where our heart is. So, here's the main question. Do you really want revival? Do you really want revival? Turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And in verse 1 says this. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Panting, thirsting, crying out for God's Spirit. When's the last time you found yourself at your bedside doing that? Let's just be honest. I said, I need revival. Where's my tears? Where's my burden? Not for souls, for God. First, it starts with God. I want God to revive me. And I'm willing to pray and do what God requires for revival. I can't make God come down. I can only prepare for when He does. God is the one that brings revival. That's what it said in our text verse. Here's the problem, see? It might mean a fundamental and wholesale change in your life. Things are going to change. If you don't have revival now, then things are going to have to change in order to have revival. The Lord has to be in complete control. Like I said, revival is like a return back to the moment you got saved. The moment you got saved, there was a filling of the Holy Spirit. Christ came in and you were like, sure, you were just you had all this baggage, you were just standing there, or you made that profession of faith and you were still what you were 2 seconds ago, but now God had taken up residence and you knew it. Something had changed. I am saved and I base it all upon the authority of Scripture. But at that moment, God's presence came in fullness. He didn't come in little dribs and drabs like we have now. He came in fullness. And He took up residence in my life. For most of us, it's going to be a complete turnabout from the direction that we're going to go now. We're going to have to turn completely around, repent, and go the other way. That's why I'm asking you, do you really want revival? Or do you love the way you're going? The course that you're on? Are you willing to change? How close are you to that life with God in complete control of your life? How close are you? You know, maybe you're partly turned, you're almost there. That's between you and God. But Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." All we need to do is obey the Lord, get right, repent. And we don't have to beg God to fill us. God fills an empty vessel. God just fills. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. God will do what God does. He'll fill an empty vessel. Think hard before you answer. Do you really want revival? You can't be flippant about this decision because it's a decision to give your entire life to God. Because the things that we love and the things that we desire and the things that we covet and want, maybe God doesn't. So, we're going to have to make a decision. You can't have both. You can't serve both, the Bible tells us. So there may have to be a good house cleaning. Like ladies do in the spring, we used to call spring house cleaning, right? You tear the whole house apart, and the men hide. They go golfing or something, I don't know. Go fishing. But house cleaning. Get in there and peel back that onion, that heart of yours, and look way down in there and say, what's tucked away in my life that I won't let God get near? I'm going to hold on to. I need a house cleaning. Here's some questions you need to ask yourself. Search yourself. God already knows what's going on. I need to know what God knows. Do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? It's there. Maybe you've let it go a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. Maybe it's your heart is so hard, it's been there for a long time. And it's just laying there in your heart. And it's unconfessed. You know, I didn't put a whole lot of scripture down, but just turn over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Next week's going to really be fun when I talk about the stumbling blocks to revival. Man, did I have to think about whether I even wanted to preach it. Oh, all about our idols, you know. All about the things that we love that God doesn't. Proverbs 28 and in verse 13 says that he that covereth his sins. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Black and white, up and down, cut and dry. It's right there in front of you. Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? You cover up your sin, it'll destroy your relationship with God. Let's do it. What part of your life is off limits to God? It's like a locked vault. God, you're not allowed in there. That's for me, for my enjoyment, my flesh. It's what I like to do. It may even not be sin. But maybe it's a time waster. Maybe you do that instead of talking to somebody about God and Lord Jesus Christ. Or you instead of serving the Lord, it's taking your focus off of doing some service for the Lord. There's a sign there in your life that says, do not enter. This is for me. You need revival. Are you doing things that no one else knows about? You know, like Pastor said, when he knocks at the door of someone's house, and it's like, Pastor's here! You know, and it's like, take the book rack out! Watch the movies! You know, look. Are you doing things that no one else knows about? Sinful things. Late at night. And it's dark. Nobody's around. Your spouse isn't watching. You're doing it on the laptop, on the phone. Come on, man. That's who we are. That's what's holding back revival. That's the sinful things that we're doing. nobody knows about. God knows about it. How's your thought life? What do you think about that God would never think about? We need a good scouring up here. We need to renew our mind with this book. What would happen, have to happen in your life to experience a close walk with God? What would have to go, and what would have to start up again maybe? Or begin? What would have to go, well, what do I have to start doing? I was just trying to think of questions that I needed to answer. Are you ready for a revival? An encounter with God Almighty. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know what happens when you start serving God? He starts purging you. He starts cutting away. He starts chipping at your life. It's like, ow. Ooh. He's doing it because he wants you to bring forth more fruit. Are you ready for that? An encounter with God. It's good for us to bear more fruit. It's good for us to be purged. It's good for us to be pruned. John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, saved, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's shelved. It's useless. No air in the balloon, Christian. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleans it up. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This book is the only thing that will cleanse you like that. You sit and you read it, and it just goes through you like steel wool, man. It starts scouring you and pulling all that sin up to your mind. You go, oh, forgot about that. Why am I doing that? Why am I allowed that in my life? That's this book. All things are naked unto him with whom we have to do. This is a two-edged sword. But there's a purging and a pruning that takes place. But you're clean through the Word of God. Are you ready for revival? Do you really desire the holiness of God to show itself? Real life means God's Spirit is an absolute filling of the Holy Spirit. Reasons revival seems hard to have. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. First Kings chapter 18 and in verse 36. You remember Elijah? 63 words he prayed and God came down and cleaned up the altar with fire. God brought the fire. Elijah just prepared for it. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Whew. Underline that. That's obedience. It's got to take place before there's revival. I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Elijah is a mighty prophet. Doesn't say that, does it? That thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. He is God. Didn't matter about Elijah being a mighty prophet. It was all about God. Because Elijah obeyed God and he prepared. He prepared the altar. He repaired it and prepared everything for it. Then he prayed. God, glorify yourself. Pray that prayer. God, glorify yourself in my life. And if it just doesn't happen, then wonder, what's stopping God from glorifying Himself in my life? Why won't He come down like that? And by the way, if you were around, even the wet wood, how much water did Elijah put on that altar? It all got licked up. When revival comes into the church, sometimes even the wet wood gets revived. When God comes in His power, people start getting right with God. Maybe because someone else has already gotten right with God. But revival came because Elijah prepared for it. Let's be honest. It's our fault that we don't have revival. We love this world, and we love the things of this world. Shake your head. Yeah, we do. And it's holding back revival. Do you really want it? Because God must get the glory in our lives. It's really all about Him. I told you to underline that or put a star next to it or mark it down here. Obedience. Do you want God to be big in your life like He was in Elijah's? Galatians chapter 5. Another reason. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You cannot follow God and follow the world at the same time. It's impossible. It's impossible to be full of the Holy Spirit, Dennis, and follow the Holy Spirit's leading and have another foot in the world and do the things of the world. It won't happen. You're either going that way or you're going that way. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, they're against, contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The Bible's clear that our flesh and the Spirit are at odds all the time. That's why we struggle. That's why we have such a hard time doing what we know we should do. Because this flesh says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sit in a chair for an hour and a half, especially listen to him yell at me. I don't want that. The flesh wants to stay in bed. My flesh does. Is your flesh better? No. It's just as dead and corrupt and sinful as mine is. The flesh doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to read its Bible. It doesn't want to worship God. It doesn't want to bend the knee. It doesn't want to do anything for God. So your spirit's saying, but I'm going to serve God. So get up and serve God. The Bible's clear that our flesh and the spirit are at odds all the time. We have an enemy. It's us. It's ourselves. It's me. The sin-cursed, mortal, dying, corrupt flesh, this old nature, fights against good all the time. Proverbs 3:34 says, surely he scorneth the scorners. Here's another reason. It's hard to have revival, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. He scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. You know, that word has a whole lot of meanings to it. I mean, scorn is good, though, isn't it? God knew what word to put in our Bible, amen? Because when you scorn somebody, I'm scorning you, Celine. You know, you just kind of look back at them and God says, you scorn me, I'll scorn you. You want to scoff at me, I'll scoff at you. You want to mock me, I'll mock at you. God said he's going to hold us in derision someday. Those that want to laugh at him, your day's coming. He scorneth the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. I was talking to a man yesterday, found it real hard, having all those companies and doing all the things that he was doing. A man from up there in Tiglin, 4 months he's been up there, but he's finding it hard, struggling. And Kathy was talking to him, and all I could think of was, sounds to me like, you need to humble yourself. You just need to humble yourself. Most of us just need to humble ourselves. Say, God, you're in charge, not me. This is your life. You shed your blood for me. Who do I think I am? I can't call the shots. You call the shots. You're the king of my life. I'm not going to despise what you do in my life because you're going to despise me. If we deny him, he'll deny us in the millennial kingdom too. Christian, the Bible is clear that we're proud, stiff-necked, rebellious people. We're God's people. The last thought is to humble ourselves. This man needed to humble himself. And everything else could have fallen in line. I hope he does. Now, three things in the verse that I saw. I'm going to move right through this. The first simply is that revival comes from God. Revival comes from God. Our text says, will you not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again? Only God can revive His people. Only God can do that. It was God who sent the fire down to Elijah. Elijah simply prepared for it. You can't work it up. You don't say we're going to have revival meetings. That's only to have someone preach the Word of God and hopefully convict sin, the conviction of sin, and you repent and you're getting right with God and you're having revival with God. But you don't, it's not something you can work up with music, some special preacher. It's repentance and prayer. We must change. It's our responsibility. God doesn't change, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, when the radio station is starting to go and you can't hear it anymore, it's because you're far away from the antenna. The antenna hasn't moved. You just can't get the reception anymore. So the best thing to do is to turn the car around. If you want to hear what you're listening to on the radio, turn around and drive back towards the antenna. Turn around and go back to God. We have to change. We have to humble ourselves. We have absolute dependence upon God and our need for God. That is the fruitful ground for revival. Prepare for God to send revival. Examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians. Just turn back to the left there. One book. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. Examine yourselves. Take a good look at yourself. We don't have to look at each other. The last thing I need to do is go looking at you. I need to look at myself. I examine myself. Whether ye be in the faith, am I saved? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. You're just a faker. If you were tested, you'd fail the test. And if you are saved, how is your faith? Because faith is action. Faith should show itself in the things that we do for God in service to the Lord. Your walk with God, in your conduct, your thoughts. If you see sin in any area of your life, there's only one thing to do. Repent. Confess it. And turn back to God and be filled with the Spirit. Get the sin out. And God fills it. That's what God does. David said, Psalm 139:23, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. Repentance is not just for the unsaved. Repentance is for Christians. Jesus preached to 5 churches in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation and told them to repent, that he was even outside the door of the church. Can I come in? Would you like me to come into your service today? Or you just want to go ahead and do it like you've been doing it? Or would you like the fullness of the Spirit of God in the service where God meets with you? You know, if you're feeling some kind of twinge in your heart now, give glory to God. Say, God is speaking to my heart. That's good. Sin destroys our walk with God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. So sin drives a wedge of separation between you and God. It just drives a wedge right in there. The moment that we sin. But you know what? God is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then we shouldn't have any unconfessed sin in our life. Do you really want revival? Or do you like your sin? I don't know how else to say it, Leo. That's what I have to decide. Do I really want revival or do I want to keep doing what I'm doing? Because I know He will forgive me. He will clean me up. And I can have revival. Me and God. If I want it. Do I really want it? You need to get back to the Bible. I hope you don't have a Bible like that. If you do, just at least blow it off. Don't let somebody, you know, you used to have those cars that never been washed that says, wash me. Someone would write on your car. Ooh, that was bad. You had to clean it up. I hope your Bible doesn't look like that. You got to get back to the Bible. Psalm 119:105, you know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Shows me where I am and who I am, and it also shows me where I'm going. It's a lamp and a light. That book, the one that's in your lap, is the difference between no revival or having revival. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Anybody simple? Yeah. Jesus said that His words are spirit and life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what we need. More spirit and more life. Do you want your spirit stirred and experience more life in your walk with God? If you do, then you really want revival. Then you need to read His Word. And let it be a lamp unto you and a light unto your path. It will give you spiritual understanding. Read His Word often. Come and hear it preached. Love it. Desire it. Like the air you breathe. Like honey in your mouth. When you read it, you just love it. Can't wait till you can get up and have a cup of coffee and sit down with your Bible and just read it. Then you need to pray. Pray without ceasing. That's the whole verse, right? So if you want a life verse, that'd be a good one. You never forget that one. Your life verse is pray without ceasing. Putting it into practice is a whole different thing. It doesn't mean that you're praying all day long. It means, though, that you fill your day with prayer. No matter where you are, you can just, Lord, I need you right now. Direct my steps. I need some wisdom about this. Show me which way to go. But it's absolutely vital for revival. How disciplined is your prayer life? Spend time in your closet. Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our 5-minute laundry list is not making it. It's just not happening. It's not going to work. We need to spend time in prayer. And not just petitioning God, but supplicating. God, I need this. Fill the supply. Maybe in someone else's life. And then just be quiet. Listen. What do you want to tell me, Lord? What have you got to say to me? Because He speaks to us through this book. Spend time reading your Bible and praying. And maybe we can get ourselves prepared for revival. Personal. Revival. Treat the time when you're with God in prayer like He was right there beside you. Because He is. He's right there with us. He's not above the ceiling. He's right there. I don't think we realize that when we pray. That God's right there. He's right there with us. He's probably urging us on. Read Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Groaning. And when we don't know what to say, He says, I'll say it for you. I'll take your prayer. When it sounds like you're chattering like a bop, 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 you don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it, Lord. He takes it and wraps it perfectly. The Spirit takes it to Him who searcheth the hearts. God wants us to pray and help us pray more than we do. Because He wants us to talk to Him. We need revival. The verse says, we need it. Your people. The Bible says we do. Why? Don't turn to Luke, but Luke 14, verses 34 and 35 talk about if the salt have lost its savor, what good is it? Throw it on the dunghill. It's only good to hold the smell down. You either follow God or wind up on the dunghill. And the only way to get salty again is to follow Jesus Christ. Repent and turn back to Him. And He'll get us salty again. Why? We need revival because we're dead. We're dead. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now you can move your hands around. You're not physically dead. In fact, you're not even spiritually dead if you're saved here. But it's kind of like Lazarus. He was temporarily out of commission, didn't they? He was in that tomb for so many days. And he was temporarily out of commission. And that's the way we are. And in Ephesians 5:13 it says this, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Why does he want to give us light? So that we do reprove those things that are shameful. That we are different from the world around us. That we are shining our light the way we're supposed to. The reason we're not shining our light is because our light's not shining. We need to be woken up. Stirred up. We've made our choice. The reason our light's not shining, we've made our choice. We've chosen the world over God. Godliness is disdained by this world. This world hates godliness. So when they see you being godly, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're not going to want to be around you. But that doesn't matter. We're supposed to be able to give light to a world that is dark. The only way you're going to do that is to have your own light shining. We're dead. Because we're in a state of, or condition of inaction or neglect. Of what? Our relationship with God. Being different isn't cool. Young people, they don't want to be different from the world. They want to blend right in. It isn't cool to be a Christian. A real Christian. So I'm going to be a halfway Christian. You ought to be in a halfway house then. If you want to be a halfway Christian. Go get some help somewhere. Because that isn't pleasing to God. We're to be different. Our love for God has cooled off. Why? Because we have a substitute. We have a new lover. It's the world. We love the world and the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Talk to God. Because I have to go face to face with that. And when I love the world more than I love God, He says, my love's not in you. Wow. That's our idols. That's next week. Will you take Bible study and soul winning and service and a consecrated life and put that on this side and then put the world on this side and see which one gets more of your time? Put it on the scale. You do it. But that's where we're at. In a state of condition of inaction, just neglect. We've lost our spiritual nerve. The courage to fight the battle. We've lost our will to do His will. We're afraid to be a Christian, to talk to anybody about Jesus. The only way people get saved is for us to go and tell them. How did you get saved? Were you sitting in your closet one day, and all of a sudden you just, bing, I'm a Christian? No. I know the person that witnessed to me came and made himself a pain in my neck, basically. But he wouldn't stop, because he had a burden for my soul. I'm so glad John Mitchell didn't stop coming to my door. And someone talked to you. And someone prayed for you. Where's our spiritual backbone and our burden for souls? We've lost our spiritual nerve. Turn back to Acts chapter 4. We're almost done here. Acts chapter 4. And in verse 31, we'll start in verse 29. We need to ask God for power. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." I mean, they were threatened. "And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Not get away, not stand up under the threatenings, but just to make sure I speak the word of God the way I should. Verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." That's revival. God came down and gave them exactly what they needed. Where is our spiritual nerve today? Where's the filling of the Holy Spirit? Where's the boldness to go out and witness? Where's the power of God evident in your life today? Today, more than ever, Christians must do all that we can to win souls. I really believe we're getting close to the end of time here. Close to the rapture anyway, when we're going to be out of here. I really believe that. But Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I think the whole part of that verse that gets me anyway is that he that goeth forth and weepeth. Where's the tears? The pastor preached at the 21st anniversary that we just have? I think it was 21. Tears and joy. It's the tears part that get me. Where's our burden for souls? That is the fruit of revival. If you don't have any burden for souls, because you're not revived. You have no light. You can't shine a light that's not there. You can't work it up. God has to bring that power into your life. God has to bring that burden into your life. He cares more about souls than you do. So I need God to care through me. We can't preach good news and be bad news either. Philippians 1:27 talks about that. We ought to strive for the gospel. That our conversation ought to be something that honors God. Our life ought to be something that honors God. People don't need what they say around them all the time. They need to look and see somebody that's different so that when our lips are opened, it matches our life and it has some power in it. The funeral yesterday and the service was different, the people said. It was just because Christians were talking about somebody they knew. And the people were like, oh, that was marvelous. It was wonderful. You know, I heard from other people talking to other people and the preacher that was there. It's because he knew God. It wasn't some dry, hopeless thing going on here. These people knew God and talking about somebody who knew God and had life in it. And the reason for revival, the text says that your people may rejoice in thee. That we can rejoice in Him. Enjoy His presence. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. How's your joy today? That's a fruit of the Spirit. Can't have it without the fruit of without the Spirit bringing that fruit in your life. Can't work it up. It's not like happiness. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit of God. In His presence, at Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Has anybody ever gotten a new car? As far as I know, Pastor Craig, that 07 is... You have? Oh, yeah, that Fiesta. Well, that's because she bought it in 1988. But it was new. And you remember sitting in it and going, man, it smells so different than that car. You get in 10 years later, you're like, whoa, what was that? What is there a wrapper under the seat that I didn't get out? But you didn't want to get out of the car. It's like you shut the door and you walk away and it's like... You go in the house, you open the blind, it's still there. You know, you were so happy with that new car. You wanted to be in its presence. I want to sit in my new car. How about God? How much time do you like to spend in His presence? And just boast about Him. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God wants us to be revived so we send glory back to Him. Elijah prepared and he said, the glory is to You, Lord. I want the people to know that You're God. You're the Lord. Not that I'm some mighty prophet. Jesus was all we thought about when we first got saved. And we gloried and we boasted about Him all the time. People couldn't shut us up. What happened to that grateful heart? What happened to that? And just spend time with Him. I just like being with God. Just take care and guard your relationship with God. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart so that you can continue to... When revival does come, it's going to come so that you can boast about God and glory in the fact that you know Jesus Christ. The greatest issue is your walk with God. So, decision time. What about you? What is your decision? Forget about everybody else. Just you look at your own heart and say, now, what about me? Do I really see where I'm at? Do I see my condition? Do I really want to change? Do you really want personal revival? Do you really want it? And are you willing to do something about it? Next week we're going to preach about the stumbling blocks. But today, the question is, do you really want revival?